Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to us now so that our flesh may tremble in fear of you and so that we stand in awe of yourself and your word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning I thought it'd be helpful to preach on Matthew 26, and particularly as we're coming into the Easter season. So next weekend, of course, is a time when people particularly remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And here in Matthew chapter 26 and following into chapter 27, we read of the death of the Lord Jesus. But why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? Well, there's many answers to that question. But an obvious reason that Jesus died is because of the work of evil men. And we see that in the passage that was read for us before from Matthew chapter 26 and the opening verses. In Matthew 26 and verse 1 and following, we see here the plotting of the religious leaders to kill Jesus, particularly in verses 3 to 4. It says, "Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him." Now, were these religious leaders successful in their evil plots? The answer is, of course, yes. They were successful in bringing about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that they see the success of their plans over in chapter 27 as well. Turn with me to chapter 27, verse 41, where the religious leaders are gathered again, no longer to plot the death of Jesus, but to mock the Lord Jesus as he is dying. Verse 41 of Matthew chapter 27, we read, "In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him." So why did Jesus die? It was the plotting of evil men, the religious leaders in particular, and the successful carrying out of their plan. And is this the reason that many humans die? Is it the same reason that many humans die today? Yes, it's not just Jesus who has died as a result of the plotting of evil men and then the successful carrying out of their plans. It is a case that is still today, that people will plot the death of others and then they will accomplish their evil plots. They will carry out their plans and many people die as a result. But is the plotting of evil men and the successful carrying out of their plans the reason why all humans die? Is it the cause of all humans, the plotting of evil men and the successful carrying out of their evil plans? What about when people die in sleep, in their sleep, or from an illness in a hospital bed? Or when people die in an accident of some kind? Is the reason for natural deaths, what we call natural deaths, the plotting of evil men and the successful carrying out of their plans? Well, in one sense, the answer is yes. Why? The only reason death exists is because of the work of evil men. The only reason death exists is because of the work of evil men and the success of their evil plans. How did death enter into this world? Why do humans die at all? It is because of the plotting of two evil people. Who am I speaking about? Adam and Eve, our first parents. They plotted evil, and then they carried out their plans, and as a result, death entered into the world. What was their evil plot? What was Adam and Eve's evil plot? It was to rebel against God by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They plotted to eat from it, and were they successful? Yes, they were successful. They considered, and they plotted, and they ate. As we read before in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom," she's plotting. What did she do? She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And what was the result? What did we read? We read that God warned Adam and Eve that if they ate, a result would happen. What is that result? It is death. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. We didn't read it today, but It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" God warned Adam and Eve that if they plotted evil and ate from that tree, they would surely die. And what happened? Well, the serpent lied to Eve and said, "You will not surely die," in Genesis 3, verse 4. And then what happened? We see them eat. And then a few chapters later, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, what do we read? "Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died." 930 years is a good innings, but nevertheless, he died. Why? Because he plotted evil and then carried out his evil plans. But that's Adam and Eve. What about the rest of the human race? Why do all humans die? Well, it is because, ultimately, we can stretch it back to Adam and Eve's evil plot and the success of their plotting as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "In Adam all die." In Adam all die. Why? Because we, as Adam and Eve's offspring, we have inherited their punishment for their sin as our representative heads so many years ago. They're what we call our federal heads, our covenanting heads. They made a covenant with God. God made a covenant with them. And therefore, we are in them as their children. And therefore, we have the same punishment that was put upon them put upon us. Just as if our federal head, our prime minister, goes to war with another nation, we then become enemies of that nation by our representative head. And that is the same for us as humans who are descended from Adam and Eve. They are our representative federal heads, and therefore we get the same treatment that is given to them. And what is that? Death. We call it original sin. Original pollution has come to us. Sin has come to us from Adam and Eve, and therefore we die. But why else do all humans die? Not just because of Adam and Eve, ultimately, but because of our own evil plotting and the success of our own evil plots as well. We have all plotted evil. No one in this room can claim that they have never plotted evil and then have never successfully carried out their plans to do evil. Like the religious leaders of so many years ago that we read in Matthew chapter 26, we have a rebellious spirit as well. We have a rebellious spirit against our leaders and against our God. And so we plot evil. And what happens? We plot the evil, and soon we find that we are carrying out our evil actions against others and against the God who has made us. We fulfill our plans. And what is the result? We bring about our own death. We bring about our death as God puts us to death and punishes us for our rebellion against him. He punishes us for our sins. So whether we die because of a murderer, whether we die because of cancer, whether we die because of a car accident, we deserve whatever death we experience. Why? Because we have plotted evil. We are evil people, we plot evil, and then we carry out our evil plans, and so we deserve whatever death God gives us. So does that then mean that Jesus would have died anyway? I opened with, why did Jesus die? And I said it's because of the evil plots of evil men and the carrying out of their schemes. And we saw that in Matthew 26. We saw that with the religious leaders. Does that then mean that Jesus would have died anyway? If these men hadn't conspired to kill him, would he have died anyway? The answer is no. Why? Because Christ never sinned. Christ never sinned. We've established that people knew Jesus did not, we can see here that Jesus did not deserve to die at the hands of evil men, did not deserve to die at the hands of evil men because men shouldn't be committing these evil crimes. And we know it's evil because of the way that they plotted. What did we read in verse 3 of chapter 26? It says, "And the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way." That's an important point there. In some sly way, or with trickery, is another translation. They knew that Jesus did not deserve to die by crucifixion. That if they were to kill him, it had to be in a sly way. It had to be with trickery, because he did not deserve to be crucified. He did not deserve to be put to death by the state. And we know that the people knew that Jesus did not deserve to die in this way either. How? Because the way that the chief priest didn't want to involve the people. What do we read in verse 5? It says, "For not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." Why do they want to avoid the people getting involved? Because the people know Jesus does not deserve to be crucified. And they realize that if they try and crucify Jesus, there's going to be a riot amongst the people. And so the text that is before us clearly establishes that Jesus did not deserve to die the death that he received. Otherwise, it wouldn't have had to be done with trickery, and it could have been done publicly with all the people involved. If he was clearly a criminal, he should have been crucified by the Roman law or put to death by the Roman law. But we see here the religious leaders know he does not deserve to die. And they also know, we see that the people know that he does not deserve to die. And of course the Bible tells us that Jesus does not deserve to die as well because of his own sin, because it tells us very clearly that he is one who is sin-free. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, that Jesus is a lamb without blemish or defect. And Jesus, we see as we look at him, we can see that he is without sin. Jesus never sinned himself. He had no actual sin. We have actual sin. We have original sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve, but we also have our actual sin, our own sin. Jesus never sinned himself. He even asks in John chapter 8, verse 46, he asks of the people, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" That is an audacious thing to say to any crowd. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Consider you saying that to any group of people. Consider saying it to your family at lunchtime today. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm sure you won't last long before it is proven that you are guilty of sin. But Jesus said it, and said it in the context of disciples who had lived with him, who had seen him day after day. And he puts this statement out there, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" And he is not proven guilty of sin. But wasn't Jesus also responsible for the actions of Adam and Eve so many years ago, and therefore he should be put to death in some way as well? I've said to us today, I've admitted about myself as well, that I deserve to die because of Adam and Eve. I deserve to die because of my actual sin, but I also deserve to die because of Adam and Eve. So wouldn't Jesus also deserve to die? Because he is a descendant of Adam and Eve. He is human, like us. Well, this is where it's very important to note the birth of the Lord Jesus and his conception. How was Jesus conceived? By the Holy Spirit. Was Joseph Jesus' father? No. His father was God himself. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is not responsible for Adam and Eve's sin. He does not have that original pollution, that original sin put to him. So what does that then mean? Jesus was completely sin-free when he was here on earth. He had no actual sin of his own, and he has no original sin put to his account either. And so what does Christ's innocence mean? It means that Jesus didn't deserve to be crucified by murderers. And it also means that Jesus didn't deserve to die of old age in a hospital bed. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus has no sin. So then why did Jesus die? Why was Jesus permitted to go to the cross and die by the hands of these evil people? It's because Jesus died for the sins of his people, not for his own sin, because there is no sin of his, but for the sins of his people. God did a tremendous thing to Jesus before he died. What was that? He imputed the sins of his people to Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Jesus became a substitute. Jesus became a substitute for his people and accepted their sin upon him. And the moment that sin was put upon him, what did Jesus deserve? He deserved to die. He became sin for us, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. And as soon as he became sin for us, he deserved to die. Not for his own sins, but for the sins of those people whose sin had been put upon his shoulders. And so therefore Jesus died. As a result of the plotting of these evil men and the carrying out of their plans, but also because the sin of his people, because the sin of God's people was put upon him. So then what hope is there for humanity to escape death? I've said that we all deserve to die because of Adam and Eve and because of our own evil actions. How can we escape death? Well, Jesus is our only hope. Why? If we trust in Christ's death for us, his death becomes our death as he takes our sin upon him. And what does that then mean? Believers will no longer die for their sins and be punished. Jesus cries out at the cross, "It is finished." What is he talking about? The punishment for sin, for the sins of his people, is finished. He is a perfect substitute for them, and he has accepted the wrath of God put upon him and overcome it. Now, believers will still die, but what will happen one day? They will rise again as Jesus did. They will rise again to eternal life in a new heavens and a new earth. And why is Jesus our only hope then to escape death? It's because he is the only one who never sinned and so never deserved to die, but did die as a result of our sin being put upon him. But why did Jesus agree to do this? Why did Jesus agree to be the substitute for God's people, to be the substitute and have their sin put upon him and then die that death? Well, it's because in love, God the Father and God the Son plotted, covenanted to save their people's lives. Evil men in Matthew 26 plotted to sin and take lives, and they were successful. But what has God done? He's also plotted. Why did Jesus die? Because God the Father and God the Son also plotted. The word that is there for plotting in Matthew 26 in verse 4, it can be used for evil, but it can also evil plots, but it can also be used for just counsel generally speaking. And that is what God has done. He has also plotted. But what did God do? He plotted to do right and save lives. The religious leaders plotted evil and then carried out evil to take lives, but God the Father and God the Son in love plotted to do right and save lives, and they have been successful as well. God was successful with his plans, and we know he had plans. How do we know he planned it? Well, the verses that are here before us tell us that. What do we read in Matthew 26, verse 1? It says, "When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, 'As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified.'" He knew what was going to happen to him. Why? Because he had planned it with the Father. He knew what was going to happen, and he told his disciples about it. And he knew how it was going to be done. How was it going to be done? He said it was going to be done in 2 days when the Passover arrives. He accomplished his plans. Whereas we see the religious leaders, they had their sly plans as well. But when were they planning to crucify Jesus? What do we read in verse 5? "But not during the feast," not during the Passover, "otherwise the people may riot." Their plan was to keep it out of the Passover. God's plan was to do it during the Passover. Whose plan succeeded? God's plan. He wanted him to be crucified during the Passover as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So why did Jesus die? It's because evil men plotted evil things and carried them out. But it's also because a good God plotted good things and carried them out and saved lives. Now, is this all true? Is it true? Is it true that all die because of Adam, but people can be alive because of Christ? Did the religious leaders mean the death of Christ for evil, but God meant it for good? Is it really Good Friday for believers? When we celebrate Good Friday, is it really a good Friday that we're celebrating? Yes, it is. And how do we know? Well, I've given you some ideas from the scriptures today, but there's one passage that clearly teaches all of this, Romans chapter 5. This might be helpful for us to turn to that now. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 12. We'll actually read about 10 verses, so I encourage you to, in your Bibles, to turn to it now. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and we'll read through to verse 21, to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man," that's all of us, we have all died because of the trespass of Adam, "how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. We all are condemned because of that one man. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification," brought rightness with God for those who believe. Verse 17, "For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man," that's Jesus, "the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness, to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Very clear support for what I've been telling you now. We have all died because of Adam. We all deserve death because of Adam and Eve and because of our own sin. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, we can live again. We can have eternal life. Each day this truth is proclaimed, that we all deserve to die, not just at Easter, but by the deaths of thousands around us. Humans continue to die, and it continues to be a message to humanity that we all deserve this. We all deserve death. Our death may be 20 minutes away. It may be 20 days away. Maybe 20 years away. But it is a reality. Why? Because our sin and Adam and Eve's sin is a reality. We've all plotted evil and we've all committed evil to fulfill our evil schemes, and therefore we all deserve to die and be punished for eternity in hell. Unless what? Unless we have faith in Christ. If you've never done it before, I encourage you, put your trust in Christ Jesus today. See the reality of your death. See the reality of your sin. Fear your death. And then come and trust in Jesus Christ as your substitute. Believe that your sin was put upon his shoulders many years ago, and that the punishment that you deserve was poured out upon him in your place. If you've never done it before, I encourage you to do it. Trust in Jesus Christ, so that one day you will be raised to life. And if you are a Christian, you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you are a believer, you are part of God's people whom he plotted to redeem, to save through Jesus Christ, then what should you be doing? Well, this goes for me as well. Let us stop plotting evil and carrying it out. Let us see the sin of the religious leaders of so many years ago and be disgusted by it, and stop plotting evil and stop carrying out evil. by the Holy Spirit, let's use the new life that God has given us to plot to do good for others, just like our God plotted to do good for us. If you're going to plot anything, plot how to be a blessing and show kindness and love to others, and not plot evil and how to harm others. But what else should we do? Well, by the Spirit's power, we should continue to joyfully thank God and not live in fear of death. We should not live in fear of death. Why? The sting of death has been removed. What is the sting of death? It is sin. Verse 56 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We do not have to fear death anymore as God's people. Why? Because sin has been removed. It was removed from us. It was imputed to Christ. It was taken from our shoulders and put upon Christ. And therefore, we do not have to fear death anymore because the sting has been removed. The punishment that we deserve has been put upon him. And so we do not need to fear punishment after death. We do not need to fear hell any longer because God has paid the penalty for us in Christ Jesus. And so then what is physical death for us? This great enemy of the human race that has been marching down through the centuries from Adam and Eve, death claiming person after person after person, still doing it today. What is death to the believer, to the child of God? Death is a mercy for us. It's something we welcome. Why? Because when we die, we are removed from the evil work of this evil world, including our own evil work. I was talking to someone this week about what qualifies someone to be an elder, and they were talking about how an elder should always be eager to serve and to teach and always accepting every teaching opportunity. And I had to remind this person that an elder who is reluctant to teach, to get involved in everything, is someone who is very conscious of the great responsibility that rests upon his shoulders. Because every time you teach, there's room for you to teach error and lead someone astray. Moses was someone who was reluctant to get involved, reluctant to be the teacher of God's people. He said, "Can somebody else do it?" And so there's a reluctance for me as well in this world to get out there and to teach people as an elder, as a pastor, and as a Christian. Why? Because I'm conscious of my own sin and my proneness to error. And so what is death to me? It'll be something that I welcome because I will escape my evil doing, which just continues to rise up within my soul. And I will escape all the evil plotting of people around me and them carrying out their plans. And that's part of what I get to see as a pastor of the church as well. I get to see the evil of others. You get to see the good that others are doing as well, but you get to see the evil that people do, and it sickens you. And you're like, "I'd like an exit door." Well, there is an exit door. It's called death. And so death for the believer becomes a mercy because he gets to escape the evil of this world. And what else is death for the believer? Why does he welcome it? It's because it's a removal from evil, but it's an exit, not to non-existence, but an exit to the land of rest, to the land of God, to Beulah land, to heaven, to paradise, to where Jesus Christ, the one who plotted to save us, is, and we will see him face to face. So if you're a believer, joyfully thank God and don't live in fear of death. Don't try to speed it up by doing dodgy things. That would be irresponsible and not keeping with God's will for you to serve in this world while he has jobs for you to do. But nevertheless, hear the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why can Paul say that? Why did Paul say that? Because death was not a fear for him. It was the beginning of an even greater joy than he'd ever experienced in this world. He knew that when he would die, he was going in to a joy that was beyond compare with the joys of this world. And so he said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that should be our attitude too. If we have been saved from death by Jesus Christ, the death and punishment that we deserve, then we will welcome death, because to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Let's come to God in prayer now. Let's speak to him. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the holy God who punishes evil with death. And we confess, O God, that we have plotted evil and then we have worked evil, and so we deserve to die and to be punished in hell. But Lord, we ask that you would help us by the Spirit to keep trusting in Christ's death for us, and so rejoice in your love and the life that we have, and use it to plot good for others and to live for your glory. But Lord, if there is anyone here today who has never trusted in Christ, may they see the reality of their sin and the reality of the death that they deserve for sin, and may they flee to Christ and trust in him now. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to